So I want everybody to stand up to your feet. Come on and show her what it's like to have a Houston Faith Church welcome. We welcome you,
yeah.
Reverend Annie. We honor you. We love you. Whoa. We esteem you. And we receive the gift that's in you.
Thank you so much.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, we magnify you, Jesus. Jesus, we love you today. We love you today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. You can take your seats. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said to the ladies the other day, what's it like to be you? Houston Faith Church. What's it like to be you? Oh, my goodness. It's our first visit here, but wow, what a home. What a home. Praise the Lord. When you're a person of the Spirit, you know, you find home wherever the Holy Ghost is. And you can walk into a place you've never been to before and go, oh, I know this house. I know this house. And so I know many of you have felt the same way when you entered these doors and you found your home. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is a family. And God inhabits, we've already been praising him this morning, he inhabits the praises of his people. Of his people. Amen. He doesn't just inhabit praise. He inhabits the praises of his people. Jesus said in John's Gospel, the 4th chapter, that God is looking for true worshipers. He didn't say he was looking for true worship. He said he was looking for true worshipers. He wants a connection with you. With you. Amen. Everything with God is personal. Hallelujah. So you can be in a church like this, filled with people, and have a personal encounter with him. Amen. You have not just come into a house full of people and you just sit in a place and enjoy all the stuff going on and all the goings on and then you just leave and go, well, I went to church today. No, today, have an encounter with him because that's what he's looking for. I said, that's what he's looking for. Jesus said, God is seeking such. To worship him. God is looking for something. God is looking for a connection with you. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. He wants me. He wants you. Praise the Lord. Say, here I am, Lord. I'm here to meet with you. Glory to God. With that in mind, would you go with me to 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter? Praise the Lord. And it was a beautiful introduction. Thank you, Pastor Joni. Thank you, Pastor Chaz, for inviting me to come on a Sunday morning, not just for the ladies' conference, but to stay and to have this opportunity to minister to the whole congregation. But I am just grateful to be counted faithful and called into the ministry. Amen. And, Pastor Joni, thanks for the introduction because, you know, most of you wouldn't know me for any other reason. But I grew up and started my process in ministry. My dad was a pastor when I was a kid, but we didn't know everything we know now. And going to Rhema Bible Training Center, and my husband and I, we got married and moved immediately to Tulsa and started school. And then we got hired to be in the Crusade Department and the Rhema Singers and Band that travel with Brother Hagin's ministry. And all of a sudden, we just found ourselves right in the thick of it from the beginning. Right in the thick of it, just being trained and being trained in front of everybody. I was sharing with the ladies, you know, I've had the opportunity to miss it in front of thousands of people. As I learned, had to take the fact that, you know, you're going to be right sometimes and wrong sometimes, and but it's all a process of learning and getting better. Getting better at what I, my quest is to be better at being a spirit. I think we need to get better at being spirits. Because when you received Jesus as your Lord, you became a new creature. You became a new creature. You have a new operating system. You didn't just, or maybe you didn't know this, but you didn't really just add him into your life. He's not an addition to your old life. He's not just on top of the other things. Something happened in you. A transformation actually took place, and you became a new creature with an entirely new operating system that starts from your spirit, not from your body and not from your mind. Amen. We're different. I said we're different. We're not superior. We're just different. Amen. And I told the ladies, I said, if you're one of those people that says, well, I'm only human, get that out of your vocabulary. Get that out of your story. You are not only human. Amen. And you've been bought with a price. You have been bought with a price. Hallelujah. So my quest is to get better at being a spirit and operating in the realm that he operates in. I mentioned a bit ago that Jesus said that God is looking for true worshipers, because John chapter 4 verse 24 said that God is spirit. Everybody say God is spirit. He said God is spirit. He didn't just say God is a spirit. He is spirit. He is spirit, and that's our connection point with him. Good news, you're a spirit also. Amen. So we can get better at it. We can get better at it. In other words, we can get better at letting that part of us, the eternal part of us that is connected to God, we can get better, amen, at being dominated by that part of us, or letting that part take the most influence, take the charge of our life. Like Paul said, I keep my body under. I renew my mind. Amen. We don't just ignore our minds, thank God. But we are to renew them so that they catch up with our spirit. Right. Amen. I said, so they catch up with our spirit. Somehow, I think sometimes people think, well, you know, I renew my mind because God works by gravity. It starts in my head and eventually trickles down and filters down into my spirit. Somehow we think we got to get it all here first. And then somehow it just eventually, over time, and gravity gets down into our spirit. But that's really not the case. Your spirit's already got all kinds of stuff in there because you're connected with him. Amen. When you receive and begin to get understanding in your mind and renew your mind, it's so that it catches up with what's in your spirit. And it bears witness with your spirit where truth is. That's why faith comes when you hear truth. Because your spirit's alive to truth. And when it hears truth, it wakes up. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say, wake up. Praise the Lord. Hey, did you find 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter? Praise the Lord. And familiar scriptures today, I believe. But let's let God light some things up for us today. Amen. Amen. Let's let him light it up. The entrance of his word brings light. And when you have light, you can walk in it. I said, when you have light, you can walk in it. The problem is so many people who are walking in darkness are doing so simply because they don't have the light. Amen. There are people walking in, some of them are walking in darkness on purpose. They don't want the light. But I'm telling you, the entrance of his word brings light. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. First Chronicles, the 29th chapter. This is where they're about to build the temple for the Lord. And David, you know, most of you know these accounts and the history of some things. So I don't want to go into huge detail about the Old Testament accounts of some things, but I just want to call your attention, because when things first happen in Scripture, they call it the law of first mention. It establishes some things. When things are beginning, when Acts the second chapter, we read this weekend, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Pastor Joni says she just loves to read Acts chapter 2 and speak it out loud. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Amen. And I like that, just that when it says when it had fully come. Because the day of Pentecost had been, in order for hundreds of years. Right. There was an original day of Pentecost, Feast of Pentecost, that they celebrated every year, right? So God had an intention for Pentecost way back. When it first started, he had established something with that feast. But when it had fully come, what he had intended for it all along was for God to fill people. So when it had fully come, suddenly something happened. So it was a suddenly to the people, but I think it was a finally with God. Right? Amen. So he has, you know, he sets things in motion. He says he knows the end from the beginning. So it is sometimes important to see when a thing is started. So here, David had in his heart to build a temple for God. He had such a passion for God that he wanted to build him a house. And you remember when God had allowed, so to speak, himself to be in a box in the Ark of the Covenant that gave the people some sort of representation of his presence so that they could be more aware of his presence. You know, they had the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, and they had a tabernacle, and the Ark would sit in the tabernacle, you know. And then when the kingdom of Israel began to be established, David wanted that presence where he was.
Right. Come on.
It wasn't the box he wanted, but he wanted the presence of God. And you remember when they first initially went to go get the ark and to bring it back, right? And they had instruction from the Lord exactly how to handle the presence, exactly how to handle it, yet they didn't do it by the orders, right? And Uzzah, remember, he went to steady it when the ox stumbled and the cart kind of went like this, and he was struck dead. And David got ticked. David was offended. David was offended at the Lord. And because of his offense, he left the presence in another place. He left it at a man named Obed-Edom. He left it at his house. And because he was upset with the Lord that his servant would be killed, when it wasn't like God had some sort of, you know, wild thought. It was that they didn't do things properly. And so he got offended that God actually kept his word. And so they left the presence at Obed-Edom's house, and then Obed-Edom got really blessed.
Right.
And David started hearing about Obed-Edom getting blessed, and all these people, I mean, they're being fruitful, and people who were barren are having children, and the harvest is amazing. I mean, everything is happening right for him.
Right.
And he's like, wait a minute. He's got the presence of God that needs to be in our city. So, you know, they went and got 30,000 people and went to Obed-Edom's house to go get it. And how'd you like to, that, you know, that doorbell ringer, you know, camera, 30,000 people, we've come for the ark. And so they prepared, and you know, David got so excited about the presence, they didn't even get six paces, right? You remember? And before he started rejoicing and thanking God and in anticipation of the presence being with him. The presence, not the box, but the presence. Amen? What happened in that box? You think about what was amazing, some of the things that were, do you remember some of the things that were in the ark? You know, there was a jar of manna that never spoiled. I mean, when they gathered manna, remember, it wouldn't keep till the next day. But it perpetually stayed alive in the presence. It didn't age in the presence. I'm liking that. No effects of time. In the presence. Aaron's rod that budded stayed alive with that same flower on it in the ark. Praise the Lord. So amazing things happen in the presence of the Lord that don't happen outside the presence of the Lord. And so here now, David wants to build a temple, wants to build a house for God to dwell in. And yet God said, you're not the one to build it. I'm going to have your son do it, right? And so here he's explaining it here. And he said, my son Solomon, whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And the work is great because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. One translation says, the temple is not a place for man to meet with man, but a place for man to meet with God. The New Living said, it's not a place for mere mortals. Yeah. David had it in his heart to build a house for God to dwell in. Wow. When it was finished, years later, when it was finished, there was such huge celebrations, and you find it in a couple of places in 2 Chronicles, 5th, 6th, 7th chapter, where when they dedicated the temple, the presence of God came and ascended or descended with fire from heaven. I mean, they didn't have to light the sacrificial fire. God lit it. I mean, there are several places in the Old Testament where God lit the fire. God answered by fire. Not just one place. I mean, over and over again, God, his presence came as fire and just consumed the sacrifice. He received it, answered. Amen? So it did that, and then the place was filled with a cloud, so the priest couldn't even stand to minister. And Solomon said, God, who are you that could live in a house made with hands? We know that this isn't going to contain your presence, but we've built it for you. Amen? The house isn't the important thing. The presence is the defining factor. The presence defines the house. The presence defines the house. There are what we call houses of worship all over this city, but you won't find the same presence in every house of worship. You won't. Because again, he's not just looking for buildings. He's looking for people. He's looking for connection. Amen. The presence defines the house. Have you ever gone somewhere and visited an old house you lived in? Anybody ever gone and seen an old house that you may have lived in? I've seen several houses that I lived in over the years. I was bold enough to go knock on the door. Say, I used to live here. Can I come inside? I lived in a real small town, so it was okay, you know. The people let me in and let me take pictures and everything, and I'm like, cool. So anyway, but you know, the house is different now. It's not my house. My presence isn't there. My family's not there. I've got memories, but I have to think back on what it was before when our presence was there. The presence defines the house. Amen. Said the presence defines the house. Go with me to John's Gospel, the second chapter. We're going somewhere. Are you ready?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. John chapter 2. Jesus here. In verse 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple, that place where the glory of God was manifested, the place where their priests couldn't even stand to minister, this temple. Those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. You know, they're offering their sacrifices, they're going through all the motions, right? And they've got it down to a pretty good science. How they do this. You don't even have to bring something. We'll just sell it to you here. we'll make it easy for you to bring your sacrifice. You don't have to even put much effort into it. You know, just bring your money. And, you know. We were in Thailand some years ago, and the culture completely different there. And so my husband and I saw a Buddhist temple, and Kevin goes, let's go check it out. And I'm like, I don't know. He goes, yeah, let's go look. So we go to this Buddhist temple, and you take your shoes off before you go in there and everything. So we're looking around, and people are outside selling flowers so that you have something to bring, you know. And so they people are buying these flowers, and they come in and they do all their rituals and they put their flowers there and they say whatever prayers they say. And then somebody, when those people leave, somebody grabs the flowers and then they go out and they resell them in the front. There you go. They got it down to a good business. Somebody's making something. So Jesus is at the temple. You know, he was there when it was filled the first time.
Right.
Amen. He knows the glory. He knows the presence. He is the presence. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house, a house of merchandise. And you know, another place he calls it a house of prayer, right? But notice, he said, my Father's house. This is supposed to be my Father's house. This is not a place for man. This is a place for God to dwell and to be honored. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. I want to tell you today that Jesus still has a zeal for his house. He cares about his house. Because the presence defines the house. Amen. Go with me to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And are you able to put this up in the Passion Translation up there on the screen? That'd be wonderful if you could. Verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. So look what it says here in the Passion. So when Jesus, the Messiah, came into the world, he said, since your ultimate desire, he's talking to the Father, was not another animal sacrifice, you have clothed me with a body. With a body that I might offer myself instead. Go on to the next verse, if you would. Multiple burnt offerings and sin offerings cannot satisfy your justice. Go on. So I said to you, God, I will be the one to go and do your will, to fulfill all that is written of me in your word. One more. Multiple burnt offerings, sin offerings cannot satisfy your justice, even though the law required them to be offered. Next. And then he said, God, I will be the one to go and do your will. So being the sacrifice that removes sin, he abolishes animal sacrifices and replaces that entire system with the new covenant.
Glory to God. Glory.
Zeal for your house has eaten me up. You didn't desire just animal. They held a place. Until fulfillment. They held the place because Jesus was the lamb offered before the foundation of the world. So every time God saw an animal sacrifice, he saw Jesus. That held the place until the body that was prepared for Jesus was ready to be offered. And so when he said, zeal for your house has consumed me, back to John, the second chapter. Things are about to change in here. Some things are about to change in here. Verse 18, so the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He's already talking about what this temple is made for. What it's supposed to be there for, it's to be my Father's house. This temple is my Father's house. Destroy this one, and I'll raise up another one. You didn't get that quite yet. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple. And will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. The temple of his body. The temple of God is a big deal to God. Look with me to Ephesians, the first chapter. Some of you are following with me. You're tracking now. What are we talking about, all this temple stuff? Where are you going? Ephesians chapter 1. You know this if you pray these prayers in Ephesians. In the first chapter, talking about the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know the hope of his calling, was prayed at the very beginning of this service this morning. Verse 19, Paul is also praying, and what is the exceeding greatness, that we would know something about this, that we would have understanding of this. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us? Toward us, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Look at this. His power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he worked. There's several different Greek words for these words, work and power and might and all that. And all of this went together to raise Jesus from the dead. Now, it didn't take that much effort to raise other people from the dead in Scripture. People were risen from the dead in the Old Testament, right? Yep. Jesus raised people from the dead in the New Testament. Doesn't talk about all that kind of power being manifested just to raise somebody from the dead. But this is different. This is different. Which you worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him who fills all in all, and you. We're in another chapter, but it's the same thought. He raised him up. Amen. Made him be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, and you. And you has he quickened. And you has. Why did all of this power go into effect? Because he wasn't just raising a dead body. He was raising the entire body of Christ. Past, present, and future. All with the working of his mighty power, raised us up and seated us together. Together. He didn't just raise a physical body when he raised Jesus from the dead. He didn't just raise, like Lazarus when he came out, that physical body, right? But Jesus had been in hell, paid a price with his own blood, raised captivity. And all of us together in him and raised us up. We really are the body of Christ. He raised us. I said he raised us. He raised us up. Amen. Can you bring up Colossians, the third chapter in the Passion for me? Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. We recently celebrated Easter, you know. Look at this in the Passion. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too.
Hallelujah.
Let me say it again. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits, enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Go on. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Next verse. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. Next verse. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are, will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. Your body, your individual body is a big deal to God. It's his temple. I said it's his temple. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, says we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. 6th chapter says, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and you are not your own? Jesus still has zeal for the temple. Zeal for the temple because it houses his presence. Presence defines the house. Cancer does not define your house. Diabetes does not define your house. Arthritis does not define your house. Heart disease does not define your house. I'm not talking about your household. I'm talking about your house. You, your temple. The presence defines the temple. And you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And he wants to fill your house with glory. I said, he wants to fill your house with glory. Ephesians, the third chapter, we find, you know, we always love Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of us. The previous verse says, if you would know the love of God, the length, the breadth, the height, the depth, you'll be filled with all the fullness of God. If you are filled with the fullness, what else is in there? You ever have something in a glass and you just put it under the faucet until that thing, whatever that's in there, gets out because it got too full of the water? Till it overflows. You know, sometimes even just with detergent, you know, you got the sudsy foam in there and you just keep pouring water in it, pouring water, just keep the water pouring in until all the suds are gone and it's clear. Your house is a big deal to him. Your house is a big deal to him. And you. Has he risen? Amen. I was, when we worked with Brother Hagin's ministry, if you know anything about his ministry, I don't know how many of you are super familiar with it, but he had a particularly strong anointing to minister to the sick. And he got this anointing, what what he would call a special anointing or tangible anointing when he had an open vision and Jesus took him up to heaven in 1950. You can find it in his books. And they were in this tent meeting and just praying because they had a big, here in Texas, you know, they had one of these big rainstorms and stuff, and around the tent was just all muddy, and so people didn't come that night very much. So they just had a small crowd in this tent meeting. And so he said, well, let's just gather around the altar and pray. And so as they were praying, he heard a voice say, come up hither, come up to the throne of God. And he said, when I heard it, I looked up, and where the top of the tent should be, I saw Jesus. And he said, he was saying, come up, and all of a sudden I found myself going up. He said, I'd never flown in an airplane up until that point, so I didn't know what it was like to fly. But he said, after flying years later, I realized that was kind of the experience I was having. Jesus and I were flying through the atmosphere. And he said, then we were at the throne of God, and Jesus stood and said, I've called you and I've given you a special anointing to minister to the sick. Now, the reason I'm telling you this testimony, you'll find here in just a moment, because Jesus said, stretch out your hands. And then Jesus took the finger of his right hand and put it in the palm of each one of Brother Hagin's hands in this vision. And Brother Hagin said, when he did that, my hands began to burn like I was holding coals of fire. And Jesus said, I've given you this ministry. It's in your hands. And he went on to tell him some specific things. And he said, you got to tell the people that I appeared to you and so on. And so Brother Hagin would always tell this testimony before he'd minister to the sick. Well, he had this strong, tangible anointing. Every time he told the testimony, his hands would burn. And so he would take that anointing and minister to people. And so sometimes in the Crusades over the course of time, I know you've had Brother Jim Hockaday's been here. And so Brother Hagin used to use Brother Jim and myself a lot in the meetings whenever he'd kind of get tired or just wanted to demonstrate that the Holy Ghost moves through other people. He would lay hands on our hands, and then we would minister to the people. And I'll never forget the first time he laid his hands on my hands, and ladies, you'll understand this, I did not say no. You'll have to ask the ladies or watch on YouTube later why that's happening. But Brother Hagin said, Annie, come down here. And so I came down, and I was fascinated watching him minister because many times when he would lay hands on people, he'd lay hands on them, and because of that tangible anointing that was in his hands, he could tell when it left his hands and went into the person because there's a power transfer, you see. And so he would say, that's it, there it is. In other words, it left my hand and went into you. Now it's yours, you know, you take it. And so he would say that often, that's it, there it is, that's it, there it is. And I would be, you know, on the platform singing songs or whatever, thinking, I wonder how he knows. You know, I was fascinated by it all. And, of course, I was much younger then and didn't know very much at all then, know a little bit more now. Anyway, so he said, put your hands out like this, and he put his hands on my hands. And he said, do you feel that? And I went, uh-huh. I didn't know I was going to feel anything, and I did. And he said, now you go minister to the people. So they didn't know that was my first time. And so I put my hand on the first person, and something went out of my hand and into them, and I went, that's it, there it is. Like a pro. No more me involved than I have a hand. I have a hand, and God's going through it right now. And it's amazing. It's thrilling. It's humbling. I'm like, you know, Brother Jim makes fun of me because one time Brother Hagin did that and told me to go minister to the sick. And it might have been the first time. I don't remember. But we were at camp meeting in Tulsa, but, you know, 10,000 or so people there. And so Brother Hagin had me do this. And so I went, and Jim says I walked out like this. Like a surgeon. And so then Brother Hagin wanted somebody else to work, you know, too, because there's a lot of people. And so he was looking for somebody else, but Jim was standing right behind him because it was his job to be there for Brother Hagin. And Brother Hagin was doing this. You may have heard his testimony. And all of a sudden, he just looks at Jim. He goes, well, you'll do. And And Jim's like, oh, great, you know. And so he put his hands on Jim's hands, and he says, well, I saw Annie do that, so I did that. So, you know. So we laid hands on people together, praise the Lord. Thrilling and humbling that God would use, right? So we ministered that way for several years, and then my husband and I went into our own ministry, and we had similar experiences. We ministered to people with that anointing that came by association. Over time, Brother Hagin, every time he told his testimony, you know, his hands would burn, and then after a while, he would, you know, lay hands on my hands, and then after a while, he stopped laying hands on my hands, because every time he told his testimony, when his hands burned, mine did too. So he would just say, Annie, is that anointing on you? I'd say, yes, sir. He said, come on here and help me finish this line. So we worked together like that for many years. Well, then my husband and I went in our own ministry, and we were in a room praying with three other ministers one day. And we were just praying like they did in Acts chapter 4. Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto your servants with all boldness they may preach your word by stretching forth your hand to heal. Just praying for the body of Christ. Just praying for moves of God and the power gifts to be manifested. And while we were praying, I had this similar experience, which is why I had to tell the whole story, about Brother Hagin going up. And all of a sudden, I started seeing myself going up. And I saw us praying down here, and I'm going up there. Well, it wasn't my first experience of anything like that. And I didn't know really how to react to it. And me being the person who likes to be in control, kind of went, I that might mean I'm dying. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which means how does that work? I didn't understand it. And so I kind of came to myself back in the room. And when I did, the power of God came on me in such a profound way, I couldn't stand up. And so I just went to stand against the wall and slid down on the wall and sat on the floor. And apparently there was such a look on my face that two of the other ministers who were with us in the room, we were at a Brother Hagin meeting, attending one of his meetings, and they said, should we go get Dad? We called him Dad. Should we go get Dad? Something's happening with her. Should we go get Dad? And the other minister said, no, let's just help her pray this out, whatever it is. And because I had been accustomed to an anointing in my hands like heat, like fire, I was accustomed to an anointing, but this time something happened where it started in my fingers and went all the way up my arms and into my shoulders like I was holding live wire. And it was so intense that it hurt. If you've ever come in contact with electricity, you know a little bit about what I'm talking about. It's more like it's got you than you've got it. Like you can't let go. And so I grabbed my husband's hand. I said, tell me you can feel this because it's tangible to me. He said, I don't feel what you're feeling. Grab one of the other minister's hands. I said, please tell me you can feel this because I'm not crazy. And the Lord said this to me. Up until now, you've ministered with an anointing you got by association. He said, but this one's yours. Praise the Lord. But here's what I really wanted you to see, not so much about my profound experience, but that this is what he said. It would have been easier for you if you had come up. See, Brother Hagin went up and got this anointing. He said it would have been easier on your flesh if you had come up to receive. As it was, you received it in your flesh. And that's why it was so intense. Why am I saying all that? Because his resurrection is your resurrection too. So many times when we approach God for healing, we're trying to get him to come down where we are. Come and fix this issue with my body. When he's really saying, it would be easier for you. It would be easier for you if you would come up. I don't mean you need an out-of-body experience. I mean you have to have on the inside of you see where you are. That's where we receive from him, in his realm. Don't try to get him to just come down here. So many times we say, have you accepted Christ? Have you received Christ into your life? And one day the Lord said to me, what I'd really rather people do is realize that I've received them into my life. See, again, we're not just adding him into on top of our old junk. We've been risen. And the presence defines your house. Come up, child of God. Come up right now. I said, come up right now. That's where you're seated. That's where, that's where the glory resides. And that's where you're invited. His resurrection is your resurrection too. You're a new creature. It will be easier for you to come up to receive. And even right now, the glory of God is manifesting in this house. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, because you're seeing where you are in him. We're feasting on heavenly realities right now. And just that bit takes you to the place where you can freely receive. You really don't even have to have hands laid on you. That's one method, but it's not the only way he does it. Because right now, we've come up. I said, we've come up. A majority of you have already come up. Come on, take what belongs to you right there. Take what belongs to you right there. Blood is being cleaned right now. Somebody's blood is being cleaned right now, restored. Praise the Lord, filtered and whole. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Things are being rearranged right now for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody's frozen shoulder is being healed right now. I'd move it around if I were you. Glory to God, you had that frozen shoulder thing. Start moving it around because you can. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Other joints that have been locked up, come on, he's loosening them right now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If that's you, if I were you, I'd start moving that. I'd start, you know, healing meetings don't have to be pretty. Sometimes they get downright ugly. Hallelujah. Because we got to move around. We got to do some things. We got to receive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. He's moving. He's moving. Somebody's ears, you've had ringing in your ears. It's stopping right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No more annoyed by that 24/7. The ringing is stopping right now. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Any of those things that we just mentioned, who does that apply to, the things that we've already called out? Stand up if that's you. Praise the Lord. Stand up. Hallelujah. See, he's already ministering to some people. We're just calling the things out. He's doing all kinds of things that, you know. Anyway, praise the Lord. Just briefly, what was it with you? Your shoulder and your joints. How are they doing now? Better. Praise the Lord. On your way. Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Look at that. Praise the Lord. What about you back there in the white sweater? What was it with you? Your shoulder? And ringing in the ears, did you say? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And in the pink? Your shoulder? Praise God. How about over here? Shoulder? Yeah, see, he's moving in your shoulder. What about you? Ringing in the ears? Better? Yeah, praise God. What? Your shoulder? Yeah, glory to God. In the your shoulder. Look at all these shoulders this morning. Praise the Lord. And in the green in the back. Shoulder too? Praise the Lord. Yeah, hallelujah. What about in the blue right here? Shoulder and joints. Glory to God. I'm going to skip over here. Shoulder too. Yeah, praise the Lord. What about you? Your shoulder? Oh, your blood. Yeah. Amen. I believe that. Glory. What was the issue with your blood? Your red cells were low. Not anymore. Not anymore. The glory of God's filling your temple. What about you, sir? Ringing in the ears. Yeah. What about you, sir? Praise the Lord. Amen. How about you? Ringing in the ears. Ringing in the ears. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What about you? Your heart. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. How about you? The blood. Yeah. Glory to God. Blood and heart. Ringing in the ears. Gone. Glory to God. And you? Your shoulders and the ears. Praise the Lord. Your shoulder as well. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Zeal for his house has consumed him. He cares about your house. I said he cares about your house. He cares about your house. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. His glory is filling his temple. His glory is filling his temple. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No more migraine headaches. Hallelujah. No more. No more migraine headaches. Take that. Take that this morning. Amen. 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 Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody who's been severely dealing with a gluten tolerance issue. Things are changing in you right now. I said things are changing in you right now. It's not just you prefer gluten-free. I mean, you have a severe tolerance issue with gluten. And things are different. God's rearranging some things in you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who's going to take that one? Who's going to take that one? Yeah, praise the Lord. Take it as your own. Take it as your own. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you today. We honor you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. His presence defines the house. Did you get something? Are you seeing something? Maybe even just a little bit different about how important your house is to God? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.